Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Socially Connected 360, episode 16. We have a wonderful guest, a story about struggle, a comeback. I mean, you name it, this is going to be a great guest. But before we do that, I want to thank our sponsor, PowerUpNutritionOnline.com, supplement company. We had the CEO on episode 15. They decided to sponsor our next two shows, our next couple shows. And I want to thank them. Check them out. It's a local supplement company. I try this stuff. Very good stuff. You know, I love running. I love working out. Love hitting the bag. If you need to recover, by all means, check them out. PowerUpNutritionOnline.com. Episode 16, starting now.
How great I am. Great I am. Great I am.
This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back. Socially Connected 360, episode 16 in the house. I got my main man, David Bittner, in the house. I've been watching this this man just do his thing when it comes to, just your life, man. And on Facebook and you telling your story. It's very, very powerful. I love the fact that you are open with some of your struggles in life, some of your successes. And so I'm just happy to have you on the show, man. How you been? How's everything going?
I'm very good, man. I really appreciate you asking me to come on here. I just checked. We've been friends since 2016, which is kind of like the beginning of this second journey in my life. And I've been a big fan of yours the whole time, obviously. I'm just really thankful to finally get connected with you.
Appreciate it, man. Like I said, you know, we're all about that Socially Connected 360. I say it in every show. That's what it's about. It's connecting folks with real life people, real life situations, real life struggles. And, you know, obviously some of the work that you do, not only with advocacy, but also, you know, with your business, your entrepreneurship, construction, all that stuff. And then, you know, just tell your story. So let's get right into it, man. So you grew up in, did you grow up in Bethlehem or where did you grow up at? And tell us a little bit about your
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm born and raised in Lehigh Valley. Really, I grew up in Allentown on Fifth and Liberty, although I was born in Bethlehem. I lived in Yasco Park neighborhood, I guess you would call it. I lived there for a few years, but really born, really raised in Fifth and Liberty. That's where I spent the majority of my childhood until I was about like 20 years old.
Nice. We can get right into it. I know that you struggle a little bit. I see all the powerful stuff that you post all the time, and I think it's extremely important. Your childhood, did it have anything to do with some of the struggles as far as addiction or anything like that? Or did you want to touch on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right from the beginning, I said I grew up on both Yasco, which is a tough neighborhood, and then Fifth and Liberty, which is, a tough neighborhood. And, that was definitely a big part of it. Life as a kid was not so good. Not that a lot of people didn't have it a lot worse and so on and so forth, not to do like a woe is me, but like so many people, man, I had two parents with addiction. Luckily I was blessed to have two parents, but, both struggle with addiction. You know what I mean? Weren't really there even when they were there, they weren't really there. So, it's hard for anybody to succeed really without both parents, in my personal opinion. That's why that's like a message I spread a lot, how important it is, to be in our children's life. But yeah, man, like I said, growing up there, it was rough. My parents, we were poor, of course, but we had some things like they would kind of make up for it. I would get my PlayStation or whatever it may be. But then at the same time, because of that, my house was robbed multiple times, always by people I know, in the neighborhood, always by people we know. So there was just a lot of trust was never a big thing for me between, from my parents not being there to my own friends stealing, robbing my house and things like that. And inevitably when we don't have the support, we try to, as humans, we try to cope with it somehow. And, some people make it through, but a lot of people, turn to either crime or addiction, you know, addictive behaviors. And I was one of those people. So.
Yeah. And so, and this is what I see in my daily work, you know, like, I always tell my kids, you know, and I see it on a daily, man, just people struggling. And I my kids sometimes say, you know, why do people get hooked on this? Or why is this person homeless? Or why are these people struggling so much? And I say, well, you just never know. I mean, you could have lost a family member. You could have not had, like you said, parents that weren't really, they loved you, but because of their issues, they kind of struggled too. So then now you kind of leading yourself, you know? But how do you overcome that? Like, how do you get to the point where you're at today and you're sober today, you talk about it, but how do you get that struggle from being a kid to, I guess, in your 20s, or how does that work?
You know, I mean, being able to overcome it, I don't want to say it's luck, but it's definitely, you know, I'm blessed that I was able to do that. A lot of people don't make it, just on, what was it? I just found out about two close friends, passing away within 5 minutes of each other. I got the news within 5 minutes of each other on Tuesday night. Oh, and one was close with, in Allentown in high school that I was good friends with. A sweet girl, and you know, it's a lot of people don't make it out. You know, I was blessed too. There is no magic wand. There is, like, people ask me all the time what to do, and the main thing is, like, you have to want it. You know what I mean? Not that, like, we don't choose to be addicts. You know, just like somebody doesn't choose to have depression or something like that. But at the same time, for me. You know what I mean? Everyone's different, but just like I said, for the person that chooses not to, that doesn't choose to have depression, you do have to make the strong effort to not commit suicide. Just mm-hmm. like people with addiction, you really have to make the effort. You know what I mean? The problem is, though, we have a disease that lies to ourselves, that lies to us in our own language, in our own mm-hmm. voice. What I mean? So not that all people, you know, I mean, people, across the board do bad things all the time, and it's because they told themselves it was probably a good thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to, first foremost, you have to realize that you're doing wrong. You know what I mean? And that's hard to see sometimes, especially when you're in pain, or something like that. You know what I mean? Or some type of bad situation. Maybe, you know, nobody ever gave you anything and you think you deserve something. You know what I mean? To you, mm-hmm. you're not wrong. But I think that's what starts with, man. And there's no magic key. Definitely people, places, things, you know what I mean? Make sure you have to remove yourself from the negative environment, you know, as much as that's the main thing. You know what I mean? It's like they say, sit at a barbershop, you're going to get a cut eventually. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of cogs to it, but it really starts with effort. And that, I guess, starts with admitting that what you're doing isn't working.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's all types of addiction. I mean, not just drug addictions, but there's all types of addiction. And even with social media, I mean, that could be an addiction as well. But so how do we get to a point where, do you have a defining moment? Like when I talk to people all the time, whether they've committed a crime or they were career criminals or they, you know, were struggling or they were homeless, and then they kind of make it past that moment. And they kind of, like, you know, start being productive again, not only, you know, for themselves, but for their family. Do you have a moment like that? Does something come to mind?
Yeah. Well, you know, I had a few, but there's probably three big ones. So this is my second time getting clean. I was clean for about almost 3 years. At about 2 years, I forget what happened. I got injured at work. I started selling weed. You know what I mean? I didn't know what else to do. And that quickly, you know, within a few months led me, you know, like I said, you're around the,
that environment.
You're going to get, yeah. But, and, so that led to the negativity and the me using again, the big one, well, the second biggest one. So, what happened was a huge one for a lot of people is I died this last time I got clean.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was somebody. So I got clean. I just celebrated my 7th anniversary, and what had happened at the time, like a lot of people, I was trying to get clean again on my own, and I was like, it was, I had like 3 weeks where I only was taking Adderall. I wasn't taking any, you know, no coke or nothing like that. And I had a friend, you know, God bless his soul, he passed away now, but he was asking me to get him some dope, and I was like, fine, fine, I'll get it for you. And I got there, I got to get it for him, and my friend, he is a friend of mine, but he was like, oh, I don't have that. He was like, I only have this new stuff called China White. I never heard of that. I never heard of fentanyl. I didn't know what this was. So I decided to try it. I did the smallest little taste you could imagine.
Wow.
And a couple minutes later, I remember saying goodbye. And then a couple minutes later, thank God. Yeah. And you know, nobody should ever get behind the wheel, mm-hmm. but I had crashed in about 3 cars on, 10th and what's that street all the way over, like 2 blocks past Hamilton.
So Linden.
The other way. South.
Hamilton. Oh, you're talking about Walnut. Walnut or Walnut, Union?
Yeah.
Or
Union. So I had woke up to some woman yelling at me in Spanish that had crashed into her car and everything. And, you know, thank God, though. Thank God. So I had no idea what was going on. But the next thing, I woke up in an ambulance and they told me I had just been dead and they brought me back to life. And I was like, God, me. Cause, and this is how dangerous this stuff is. What I had done was smaller than a cigarette is around. You know what I mean? A little. And this is somebody who did drugs every day. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And,
yeah.
Killed me, you know what I mean, without even knowing. I didn't, you know, I didn't even believe the paramedics when they told me. But anyway, so that was a big one. That was definitely a big one. That was crazy, man. That's kind of when God, the idea of God, started to come to my life. So I was on parole at the time, and they took me to the hospital up on 17th and Hamilton. I want to say 17th, maybe 18th.
Mm-hmm.
There by St. Cloud, and police officer comes in. He goes, "Oh, are you on probation, parole, anything like that?" I was like, "No, of course not." Which, of course, I was. And he left the room. He came back in. He said, "Okay, everything checks out." He said, "You're free to go." I was like, "Holy shit!" And so that's what happened. I walked out of there. Right. I never used it again. It took 4 months till they caught up to me. My probation officer called me and told me, you know, we see this happen a few months back, come turn yourself in. And it's funny, but that 4 months clean was the lowest part of my life.
Wow.
And people don't get that. You know what I mean? You would think dying was the bad part, but the bad part was clean. And now I didn't have any more excuses for why I felt the way I felt. Wow. You know what I mean? And that's something I really try to stress to people. Like you mentioned that it's not about drugs. I tell people all the time, I'm not an addict because I used. I use because I'm an addict. You know what I mean? It's an escape, and I can look for that escape completely sober. You know what I mean? And a lot of people do it all the time, whether it be infidelity, whether it be gambling, your entire life, say, you know, whatever. I can find anything, food, you know what I mean? I don't do those things, but well, food, yes. Food I do a little more than I do. But yeah, but it took so long for me to realize that. So I knew I had a problem with drugs and alcohol, yeah. But I thought that I didn't know I had any other problem outside of that. In fact, to the point where foolishly to the point, you know, where I thought that that was my only problem. It took taking that away for the second time and realizing that I was still me, you know what I mean? And that's the problem I had was a lack of comfort with myself. You know what I mean? Even to this day, like I'm nervous about coming on here, you know?
We're both nervous. So we're together on this. So we're nervous together, man. It's all good.
I speak at things like this all the time. I mean, I've spoken at jails and institutions and different things like that.
important. My hat goes off. Coming from someone who experienced the things that you've experienced and gone through, obviously to be able to come out and talk about those things. And, you know, I listen to David and I'll bring it up. David Goggins, you know, he talks about this. He talks about, and if you don't, all the listeners, young people, if you have a chance, he uses a lot of profanity. He's a Navy SEAL. But he talks about just airing everything, right? He's an open book. Right. And when you become an open book, it's almost like you release all the struggles and obviously, because we all have stuff that we're ashamed of. But when you start to release those things, not only are you helping other people because they're learning from your struggle, they're learning from, you know, you're helping those people and maybe you're helping them in a way where they won't go through the same thing that you went through, but you're also helping yourself. Right. Mm-hmm. Cause you're speaking about these things and every time. And I noticed that when I've done that, whether it's my personal relationships or even at work, when I speak what I feel a lot better, you know? So I commend you on that, man.
Yeah. It's funny. It's funny that you bring that up. Cause it's something that I talk about all the time. And I just heard somebody else say that, like, it's the only disease that that the cure is speaking about it. And that couldn't be more true, man. Cause everybody, look, I don't want to pretend, that addicts are alone in going through this. You know what I mean? We go through the same stuff everybody else does. We just kind of have a malfunction with how we decide to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, to an extent, you know, so, but we're blessed because we are one of the few people that have somewhere that we can go to speak about it. You know what I mean? And it really is amazing, man. Like I will drive myself crazy about something for weeks on end if I don't mention it. And then as soon as I kind of put it out there, it almost every time goes away. You know what I mean? Not like it's a cure all, like, you know, not, you know, if something really horrible happens, obviously you're still going to be upset, but 9 times out of 10, you know what I mean? You say it, or you could be thinking some crazy thing. And once you say it out loud, you're like, oh my God, it's crazy. Yeah. And it's amazing. I don't think that's the natural thing for humans though. You know what I mean? In all of us, like I said, we all have problems. We're just kind of lucky that we have somewhere to go about them. But, humans in general, I think, you know, we don't want to show any negativity. We want to put our best face forward. So, and that, you know, that's a good thing in definitely on paper and, but it has side effects, you know what I mean? Of openness, you know, just different things. Hiding problems is, important if you're in the battlefield, you know what I mean? Maybe, but it's detrimental depending on, you know, maybe in your day to day life, you know, where people don't say anything.
So just real quick before we get into, like, fast forward to your life now, which is great. I love seeing everything you're doing. So on a daily basis, how constantly or how do you cope with, you know, obviously that you were an addict, you were addicted to something. How do you do, you know, I know I kind of talk about it on my daily runs, but I want to hear from you. How do you handle that? How do you handle your daily, like your 24 hours?
You know, I've really been pretty lucky where, since getting clean, and same thing last time, I've had very little, almost no, cravings to use. That doesn't mean I don't have, you know, other things that I'll get into, but some people, you know, everybody's different. Some people crave whatever it was they used every day. Like I said, I've been very lucky. I haven't, I think, you know, maybe like 2 times in this last 7 years, I think I saw like a billboard for some new beer I never seen. I was like, oh, that would be pretty nice. And even that was just like, you know, right out the window. Cause I'm so scared of it. And actually it might sound funny, but I'm most scared of alcohol because alcohol is the thing that so many people will tell me is okay. You know? Oh yeah. It's just a drink. You know what I mean? But that's the thing, you know, that's the thing that takes me to jail every time. To the, you know, drunk tank, whereas, you know, other stuff where it's all bad, but other stuff I don't get as reckless with. So But yeah, for anyway, I with that particular with using, I've been really blessed that it's not something I struggle with every day, but I struggle every day with, like I said, just crazy thoughts. I'm emotionally imbalanced, you know, on any given day. Mm-hmm. Could be high, could be low. You know, I want to, you know, it's just, and that, what I have to do for that stuff is, we say do the next right thing for the next right reason. So what I do is I make sort of effort to live the right way. I don't go, like I said, I don't go to the strip club. I don't do different things. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but for me, like, I'll just put it out there. Last time I went to the strip club, I thought about cheating for like a month every day. Like that's how it affects me. You know what I mean? Like, so, and I know that though, I know these things, so I don't do them. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah. And again, this is trauma that we, you know, all of us, we kind of put ourselves through some traumatic events, right? Or even if it's self-inflicted, and then it kind of like prolongs itself into your life. Like it just stays there. Right. And so now it affects so many, there's so many levels to it. It affects so many different things, even something as simple as what you just said. You know, you would think you'd be like, ah, it's just a club. Right.
Yeah.
But now you're like, ah, you know, that mindset is there. But I commend you on the fact that you are able to, you know, control that. And the fact that you could talk about it. I mean, that's huge, man. Like it's so powerful. Like you're so strong, in my opinion, to be able to come on here and talk about these things, because most people don't want to even deal with any of that, you know, and you would know better than me, but most people just don't want to even talk about their past or their negative history or whatever like that. They just want to just live life. But you're helping so many people, man, on this show right now. I'm telling you, there's going to be somebody watching this show and you've talked to a lot of people, like you said, whether it's at prisons or, you know, talking about addiction. But this right here also can help a lot of people. So fast forward to today, I see that I see you little man doing a front double bicep, doing some workouts. I saw you guys doing some workouts because, you know, I did check out your Facebook. Obviously, I've been on your Facebook. We've been friends for a while on Facebook. So tell us about that, man. So how has that played a major role or a role in your life when it comes to all of this? Like your family and everything.
Yeah, man. Obviously, that's the most important thing to me. Like, you know, like so many other people. But coming from, you know, the childhood I came from, where I always on a daily basis, I wanted more from my family. You know what I mean? I wanted what I saw on TV. I wanted, which I know isn't real. But coming from that, I try my best to provide something different. You know what I mean? And, you know, like everyone, I fall short. I work too much. I do this, I do that. But I just make sure I set boundaries for myself to be there. You know what I mean? Because that's the only thing that's really important. You know what I mean? Everything else is bullshit at the end of the day. But yeah, man, like my son was actually born when I was still in jail. And I was lucky. You know, I got my lawyer and I was able to get put in work release. So I was able to, I had that whatever it was, 6 hours to go to the hospital. But he's, you know, he's been the biggest, the change at all. I was going to say catalyst, but he's like my everything. You know what I mean? You know, yeah, it is amazing, man. Everything is really amazing. I forget the question right now. I'm getting like choked up.
No, I mean, like, for instance, like, you know, you had said that, So family, to me, I would think could be one of those things that could help you with trying to stay free, you know, from addiction and things like that.
What?
I'm going to edit this stuff.
I mean, they're the inspiration. At the same time, though, like they could be so many families are the enabler, you know what I mean, for people with struggling with this. Cause they love you. You know what I mean? They're, you know, that happens. So it there's a line to walk, but for me, man, yeah, definitely. So like I said, he was born when I was locked up. And I just, you know, I just decided to be, you know, I made the choice to be different. And, you know, I got lucky along the way. I think I was out of jail like a month. And guys I used to work with, they called me up and they were like, yo, we're meeting up with the union people. Because I worked at a big company out of Quakertown for not even for that long, for a little over a year before, you know, my life took a different path with that injury. And anyway, I was out like a couple weeks, a month maybe. And they're like, oh, come with us to go meet the union people. That just kind of like went, you know, that turned my life around right from the gate. Cause I'll be honest, my plan when I came home from, when I was getting out of jail, I didn't know what to do. You know what I mean? I was a felon now. I had, for the first time in my life, I kind of felt like, okay, maybe I did screw up. You know what I mean? Cause I was always the type of person, I would get in trouble all the time, but be like, ah, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. But this was the first time I was like, it is a big deal. I don't know what I'm going to do. And being 100% honest, my plan, the only plan I could think of was to grow weed. I was like, I'm going to grow weed. I'm going to sell weed. I'm going to save $100,000. And in the meantime, I'm going to figure out a way to go legit. That was the only thing I could really think of. And thank God, you know, I didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
And this came along and I never looked back. You know, it's been great. I've tried to get everybody I could and I've been successful. I've actually gotten a couple friends that did long sentences upstate for decades. Well, not a decade or more, not decades because it'd be too old. I've gotten them into the union. It's, you know, so that's really been something I take great pleasure in, is helping people, showing people, because I feel like that's the biggest thing. Like I said earlier, you have to have parents. Well, you can't just have parents, you know what I mean? Like, you have parents to show you, you know what I mean? We have to have people that show us a better way. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because none of this can do this alone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, learn from each other, build off each other, and so that's my whole thing. You know what I mean? Everything I learn, I try to pass on, you know what I mean? And I'm not talking about my kids. I'm talking about my friends. I'm talking about people that I grew up with that, you know, I got lucky. I get to come down. I know I relocated down here to Philadelphia. I've learned different things. Not that there's anything wrong with Lehigh Valley. I know you love it up there, but just from branching out, and we have so much that in Lehigh Valley with everybody from New York City and different things.
For sure.
Where, you know, people are introduced and grow up with different things that are beneficial. You know, if we listen, if we're willing to, you know, just be exposed to different things. And just like we have, you know, and vice versa. I bring friends from Allentown, to speak down here at different engagements all the time. And, you know, it goes both ways. But anyway, that's what we're here for, man.
Yeah, man, that's what's up. And then so, the construction. So I see you doing a lot of construction. I see you doing a lot of, what do you normally do as far as work?
So I'm a carpenter by trade and a general contractor. Like I said, I was in the union, the Carpenters Union. I've recently gone on my own, as I know I just said how great the union was and it is. I'm still a member, but at the same time, I've kind of reached a point where I don't want to put 40 hours into somebody else's dream anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you do good work. I've seen your work.
Thank you. Yeah, it's
documented.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with putting 40 hours into somebody else's dream. That is a lot of people's dream. You know what I mean? They want to chill and
they want to be stable in that aspect. Yeah,
I don't mean to, you know, to degrade anything. But and I may be right back there, but I was just thinking to myself. So let me backtrack a little bit. The union is essentially like any union is essentially like a glorified employment agency. Where'd you lost you?
Oh yeah, hold on. You might be
still there.
Yep, hold on. Yeah. We're gonna reconnect.
I pressed a button or something.
Oh, you're fine. We'll edit it.
Okay, so I'll back up. So a union is essentially I don't mean this negatively, but it's like an employment agency is how it works. Generally, you know, the company says, I need this many guys. They send this many guys. A lot of people are, they're there for the job. And then when the job's over, they, you know, they go to the next company with the next job. Mm-hmm. There is some people that are exceptional. And they stay somewhere their whole career. You know what I mean? I was somewhere in the middle. You know, I was very lucky. I was with two companies for 3 years, 3 years each, 6 years. I was with two companies. And you know, this last company I love like family. They got slow around January and they just said, you know, everybody, we don't have anything for about a month, you know, go home and, you know, And at that point, I just said, you know, what if I put the same 3 years into myself that I put in to somewhere else? So, you know, I certainly don't want to burn any bridges or anything like that.
No. This is life. I mean, that I'm sure they understand. And I mean, you just showed them a ton of love. I don't think you're burning any bridges, man. You're showing them a ton of love.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. The owner of my company where I was for the past 3 years, same story. He was a union carpenter, started his own company.
Yeah.
He was very like supportive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The only thing is I'm just trying to do like two or three guys, little stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to do nothing big like that. And cause you could go and start a union company, but
yeah.
But I'm not trying to jump into, you know, $500,000 jobs and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, the stuff that you're doing, the befores and afters and the stuff you're posting. And, you know, obviously, it's like for me in my government job, if I go to somewhere else, you know, I had great memories with you. I just decided to take this path. It's not because I don't want to be with you. It's just, I want to try something new. So I commend you on that, man. I got two more questions. I saw that you posted, about a while back about getting your driver's license. So tell me how that felt as far as getting it back. That was a big moment, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's a funny story. I'm actually going through that again right now. I never had a license in I was 15. Me and some friends got caught with some weed. Weed has been a major part of my life, even though I haven't smoked since I was, I don't know, maybe a senior in high school. Yeah. But anyway, we got caught with some weed when I was like 15 and they gave us suspended my license before I was even sick enough to get it.
I remember that. They still do that now.
Yeah. And then, you know, there was some skipping school. There was many, many underage drinkings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a couple of years go by, I've never had a license and it's suspended till I'm like 34 years old, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's funny because I had friends that got 3 DUIs, went upstate for 2 years, came home, had their license. I have no DUIs, you know what I mean, until that last one. But that I mentioned earlier when I passed away momentarily. But yeah, so anyway, it was a whole thing. It was a crazy story, man. God again, right? So I'm going to look at a job in Delaware County. In fact, the license thing is the main reason I moved down here to Philadelphia. So I could have, you know, I couldn't do it in Allentown without a vehicle. You know what I mean? And so anyway, I was going to look at a job and I went to go around the school bus because the school bus was just stopped. I thought I was behind a school bus, right? And I thought that there was a line of traffic.
I swear
10, 15 minutes go by. I didn't move. I look, there's no cars in front of the school bus. I'm just sitting behind the school bus for no reason. So I go around the school bus and I end up rubbing my car on it somehow. Like I just misjudged, whatever.
Yeah.
And who's driving the school bus is the dude, the owner of the house I was going to look at to do work for. I'm like, get the hell out of here. Anyway, you know, he was like, oh, I got to call the police because I was trying to get him not to, you know, I was giving my insurance to call because it's a school bus. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm like,
absolutely.
Okay. It ended up being the hugest blessing in disguise. So the officer came, you know, I explained to him my story. They seen that this was not that long. This was maybe 2 years ago. So they seen that I had not been in trouble in, you know, 5 or 6 years, you know. And they said, look, talk to the lawyer, get everything together. We'll push your court back until then and we'll dismiss it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened. Wow. I got this a probationary license, it's called. This was about a year and a half ago. I got that. And funny story. So it's been hell with PennDOT. They sent me two pieces of paper. One said I could get my real license January of this year. The other one said May 21st. So it's I went through that. They were like, we don't know what's going on. Why you have two dates anyway? So I was like, I'll just wait till May 21st. So about a month and a half ago, beginning of May, out of the blue, I get a certified mail. It's for that
real ID.
It's for that fender bender with the school bus 2 years ago. So I'm like, what the hell? I call my lawyer. They're like, okay, just, you know, get your, cause my probationary period ended on May 21st. Yeah. So May 21st comes, I got to do this right now. Actually, I go to get it. They're like, nah, you have to get a physical, take your permit. I'm like, I literally just got a physical last year, took my permit last year. Wow. Drivers, everything. They're like, yeah, that was for your probationary. So wow. They're like, now you have to do the whole thing again. So I'm actually waiting right now for a physical.
Oh, wow. That's what I'm saying. Like these little moments of these little victories, and you're still fighting. You're still fighting to get it. But no. it was powerful to watch. Like, again, this is me just being on social media. And, you know, I like a lot of your stuff. I try to like just say, hey, man, keep going. Like, I love it. I love it. Like, because it's real, right? A lot of times, you know, people share all these different things, and some is fake. Some people lie. Some people share too much about their life. But those little victories like that, man, it warms my heart. And I know a lot of people are like, man, that's awesome, because we take a lot of that stuff for granted, right? Driving, how important. Oh, you know what I mean? It's
like, to backtrack a little bit, like, and how I came to really like and follow you and everything. Because I try to show the same support. It's funny though, but for somebody that, you know, I've never been a bad guy, but no matter how you look at it, I was a career criminal. You know, it's just like I said, never nothing, no violent crime, no theft, that, but just, you know, troublemaker, selling weed, whatever, my whole life. And so I was never really a big fan of police. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're embroiled in a culture and so on and so forth. Like when I was in, you know, in jail and around this time, you know, when I got clean and so on and so forth, I just started to have like a huge respect for police. You know what I mean? And I kind of the truth is, you know, I mean, we like, not that there aren't bad police, but
oh, sure, there are.
Of course, there are. Of course, but the truth is, there's bad people. You know what I mean? And we kind of got away from that. Like we want to blame police forever. I know I did, but the reality is, you know, we're out here doing bad shit, and that's why the police are after us generally.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10. So anyway, I don't know. I seen you, especially as a minority. I was like, okay, minority policeman, this guy can really make positive change. You know what I mean? And then I seen your mayoral run and, you know, just so on and so forth. I just see you doing good things all the time. Like I said, it's only through Facebook and social media, but I was just like, I like this guy. You know what I mean?
Well, the feeling is mutual, man. Cause like I said, I love real people. I love comebacks. I love to just watch, like, cause you know, people try to live a perfect life, you know, and we try to portray that. Right. But when I see folks like you, and there's so many more like that I've connected with, I love to see that comeback, man. And the fact that you're still doing it. And, you know, of course, yeah, my government job, I call it my government job. I don't like to talk too much about it on here, but,
sorry about that.
My government job, you know, it is what it is. You know, for me, like I said, I'm happy that, you know, you said that, as far as, yeah, we can all be the change. It don't matter what race you are. You know, we could all be the change. We could all be better in everything we do. And in law enforcement, you could be better. I mean, we all can be better. And we need to get rid of those police officers that never should have worn a badge. I mean, we know it. We see the videos. It's a sad situation when those things happen, and those police officers should be held accountable. But for me, man, the way that I always looked at it, I was born and raised in Allentown, and I had some really good training officers and even mentors before being a police officer. And I was always saying, they always told me, and I always say this to myself, I always treat people how I want my mom to be treated. I always treat people how I want my aunt to be treated, how you, my friend, Dave, going to be treated. Like, that's how I treat people. You know, and I always introduce myself first. I never really walked up to people. Like, say, for instance, there's some kids hanging out and you get dispatched to that area because they're not supposed to be there on the porch. They don't live there. They're, you know, somebody calls, they're nervous, whatever the case may be. I would always make it a point to walk up to them and introduce myself as who I was and why I was there. And so, you know, 80% of the time when you do that and then somebody pops off at you, you could be like, yo, hold on, man. I came over here with respect. I told you who I was. This is the area I work. This is what's going on. So I'm just checking it out, man. You know, and so, and then that's where the communication comes in. So but I appreciate you, man, for the comments and for the positivity on that aspect. One more question. I asked all my guests, 19, Dave, what piece of advice do you give your 19-year-old self if you could?
Damn, man. 19 was probably the worst year of my life, so that's a good question. That's a hell of a question, man, and it's hard to say.
Just one piece of advice.
I wish I read that in the show notes first. Nah, I don't even
like that we got
one thing is, all the shit you're chasing is going to come. You don't need to chase it. Half the time, we already have it. You know what I mean? It's right around us. We just don't see it. And you're already perfectly you. You know what I mean? That tied with something I heard a million times. It's kind of the same thing. The happiness is an inside job. Heard that so many times. Didn't understand what it meant. Until I did, you know what I mean? So if there was a way to convey that there's nothing wrong with you. You're already good. You're not, you know, it's tough to bundle it together real quickly like that.
No,
but
that
would definitely be
perfect
along those lines that, you know, try so much to change what's going on. And, we're already looking for something like you hear people say, I hear people say all the time, oh, I wish, you know, think about, you know, going back to the single life or this or that. And it's like, for what? So you could look for a girl? You know what I mean? That's all you're doing the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, so, and that's a small thing, but it's the same thing. You could extrapolate that over anything in life. You know what I mean? When we're searching for, happiness through outside means, you know what I mean? It's like I tell people, you wouldn't even think of trying to fix your car with the hood down. You know what I mean? But we do that to ourselves all the time. You know, we try to fix inside with outside things and whatever it may be. That has nothing to do with drugs or alcohol. You know what I mean? That's anything. Jewelry, clothing, any number of bullshit things. And, you know, if you applied that to anything else, it would be unthinkable. But we apply it to ourselves every day. So if I could try to, you know, convey what a bad idea that is, that's
it. There you have it, folks. Inside. It's in the inside. I talk about it all the time as well. We basically focus on everything that's happening on the outside, that if we focus a little bit more of what's happening on the inside, we understand that that's where it's all coming from. We kind of block out the negativity and everything, you know, that's going on. It's very difficult. We live in a very visual world, a world that is real. But you're so right. I love the advice. 19-year-olds, think of what's going on the inside, man. Be happy. And try to understand that you are you because you are you. You know what I mean? And so that's great. So if somebody wanted to find you, I know you're on Facebook. If they need some work, maybe in Philly or in some local areas, they can find you on Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, my personal page, David Bintner Jr. You can hit my website, 88contracting.com. I don't think it's LLC. It's just 88 contracting. I'm almost positive.
No, plug it. We'll put
Google it. It'll pop up. Yeah, man. I'd love to help people. If you're struggling, if you have, you know, a family member that's struggling, I'm really connected in the whole area from Lehigh Valley to down here. And then I know people, you know, maybe I don't personally know them, but I have friends that know people everywhere else. You know what I mean? So I can try my best to help you, in some type of way. And, that's, you know, that's obviously on the, mental health side, but also, you know, my business, I'd love to help you out. If you need a remodel, a deck, really anything, you know what I mean? Any type of, contracting, check out my page.
Awesome, man. Awesome stuff. What do you have it, folks? Dave is in the house. I appreciate you, man. You know, your story is powerful. Like I said, I'm someone that, believe it or not, I look up to you, man. I look up to your strength. I look up to, you know, obviously the struggles that you've been through and then making a comeback. I love the comeback story. So, man, I appreciate you being on our show, episode 16. Thank you so much, man.
Hey, it's my pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
There you have it, folks. Episode 16 in the house. Like I always say, stay connected.